Hey guys, I'm Tim.
I'm Spencer.
I'm Jeff.
And I'm Dan.
And this is the Board Game Rundown. Today, we are going to talk about games we played, news,
crowdfunding,
and a topic that Jeff has picked out. And so he's sitting in.
Yeah.
Because Bob's
what's
still
going on here.
Bob's still on suspension. No, wait. He just got married. Congratulations, Bob. Yep. Hold on. Before we do anything else, though, I just want to say congratulations to the Board Game Mechanics. They hit 1,000 subscribers on their YouTube channel. And as someone that is always really excited about like our own subscriber count, I'm really happy for him. It's taken him a long, I shouldn't say a long time. He felt like the last...
Oh, was like a...
The last 100 seemed like it took like a long time for him to get.
Well, all I got to say is congratulations, guys. You earned it.
His fingers are crossed. Okay.
I'm sure they're all okay.
But yeah, Katie and Jason, hey, great job, guys. Keep it going. One day we will hopefully catch up to you. So that being said, also, is anybody else pay attention to like the number of views? Canvas, for some reason, has been stuck at like 997.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to know.
Go there now.
I just want to see if we can get it over 1,000. Like, you don't have to watch the whole thing. It's not. It's like 10 minutes long, right?
I'll,
it's not that
I'll
long.
I'll go contribute after.
If it helps, I don't think I'm in that video. Maybe that's why it's got so many.
That's true.
Oh, my
Ooh.
God.
We have found the secret.
I need to be in every video.
Well, yeah.
That's what that means.
I don't think you
understand
logic.
I think that's what that means. And also, it's really funny is... our Ankh review has been like, and then Descent Third Edition was like this.
Yeah.
But now Descent Third Edition, I know that's not what it's actually called, is really getting really close. And it's kind of like a fun little race I've been watching.
Tim's an old man, and no matter how many times you tell him that it's not Descent Third Edition, he's still like, get off
it's,
my lawn!
It's not Journey into the Dark, which is Second Edition.
Third Edition!
What's Third Edition called?
What do you mean?
It's not Journey into the Dark.
The new game is called Legends of the Dark.
Legends of the Dark. I know it's something of the dark. I just couldn't remember what.
In short, Tim is easily entertained.
Don't call me short. I am short. Okay, guys. So, games we played.
I actually have a huge list here.
Most of it
is like really quick mentions.
I have one.
Oh,
well, you go first.
Something?
Yeah. I played Bananagrams.
Oh.
Bananagrams. Wow.
Isn't that a song?
I don't think I've ever actually played Bananagrams.
Know. No. Not the
But I will say, a little short review for me, if I had the option to play Bananagrams like Scrabble, I'd probably choose Scrabble.
Wow.
Ouch.
It stinks.
Won't be reviewing Bananagrams anytime soon.
Sorry, you hardcore Banana
Maybe
fans.
Maybe there's a reason I have never played Bananagrams. Fans.
Fair enough. Now, wait, is it the version that came in a banana?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, that's already bumped up 1 point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For good boxing. So it's now a one.
Nice.
I didn't say it was bad. I would just rather play Scrabble if there was an option.
Sure.
Right.
Sure. So if there's an option to play Bananagrams or be murdered.
Yeah, or boil yourself in water.
I guess I'll play Bananagrams.
But can I do both?
Nice.
All right. Spencer, what about you?
All right. Well, I played San Juan. I played with my daughter and with friend, Big Dan.
Big Dan.
Big Dan.
And Spencer lost, so it was a win.
I can't remember. Did I lose? I probably lost.
Yeah, Big Dan won.
Yeah, Big Dan won. You're right. He won by 4 points. It was pretty close.
Oh, I can't remember if I lost or not. That's right. He won by exactly 4 points.
You need a dog on memory.
Oh, boy.
Hey, congratulations. You won. Yeah, San Juan. It's a quick, easy game. My daughter, Stan, she picks up real easy. Loves it. We played...
save all the ones we played all together.
We'll save the ones we did together.
But is there anything you played solo? Or without us?
Oh, I did play Bears and Bees.
Yep. Which we will have a review of going up very soon.
Yes. And I also played the 25th anniversary edition of Labyrinth.
Wow, that's very specific.
Movie?
No.
No.
Oh,
okay. If you don't know Labyrinth, you're placing tiles and sliding them, so the whole maze that you're on is constantly shifting. But in the 25th anniversary edition... the backside of some of the tiles gives you a temporary little power for one turn. So it could be, on this turn, when you move, you get to move through one wall.
That must be...
Cooperative game?
No, it's not cooperative. You get a deck of cards that all have items on them.
Got it.
And throughout the map, these items. You have to collect each one in turn.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would you rather play that or Bananagrams?
Right.
No, wait. Specifically the 25th anniversary.
Exactly.
Of Bananagrams?
No. You get the third anniversary of Bananagrams, but it does come in a banana.
That's true.
Can I eat the banana?
Yeah, you can. It would taste like cloth.
Okay, yeah. I mean, will go with Labyrinth.
You'd probably what would if you could
eat
Bowie.
What if you could eat the banana?
Then I would eat the banana while I'm playing Labyrinth.
Whatever. This was pointless.
Yeah. That went nowhere. Yes, and Spencer. Okay, I mean, I'm just going to knock out some small ones. So, just so that I could talk about it, and because Bob's not here, I downloaded and played Magic the Gathering Arena for a while.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How'd you like it?
I mean, it's Magic the Gathering. Magic. I just don't get it. I don't get it, man. It's fine. It's a fine card game. It's totally, totally fine. The app works well. It has nice animations. I like the, like, rounded card shapes. When like abilities are activating and stuff, it's like rounded card shapes that are popping up. That's nice and everything. But yeah,
Dan's talking about. I'm just gonna go to sleep.
Yeah, exactly. I'm right there as I'm talking. I'm like, yeah, I played Magic thing.
I really like it. I really like it. Yeah. It's a nice implementation. I have fun using it.
It really
works well. I appreciate it
so much faster when you're playing on the computer because you don't have to be like a token here and then it's just
right.
Boom, it's done.
Yeah,
it's all done, and there's also a time limit on your turn.
Plus, the computer, I'm assuming, knows the rules of the game.
Well, also, you're playing against other people.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, the computer handles all the minutia.
Because screw that. I'm not playing Magic against people that are just going to destroy me in one turn.
You know.
On the same line, this week I played quite a bit, actually, of Scythe Digital and Lords of Waterdeep Digital.
Nice. I really like Lords of Waterdeep Digital.
Yeah, I own both. I have a problem with Lords of Waterdeep Digital, and this might just be that my, you know, had like a little glitch in or something, but the game would not let me look at what my secret end game point thing was. Wouldn't let me. Like, I was clicking on my top left icon, which is where you're supposed to click. Nothing popped up. And so I wound up losing at the end of the game against one of the friggin' bots because I didn't get any points for my secret goal because I didn't know what it was.
Well, this is supposed to be a secret goal, Dan.
Yeah, even for me.
That's a super secret goal.
Yeah. But no, fantastic, though. They both play really well. Scythe is way better now than it was when it first launched. I bought it shortly after first launch, and I didn't like it. And playing it recently, I thought it was way
cleaner. So they updated it or
whatever? Yeah, I think so. Okay. I mean, maybe someone out there is going to say, it is. They've never updated. It feels way different to me. It feels way cleaner.
Maybe you got updated.
Yeah, that's what it was. Delete. So yeah, I played both of those. Very good games. Again, my issue with digital games in general is that Scythe is a really good game. And when I sit down and play a nice, deep strategy game like Scythe, I don't want it to take 20 minutes. I just don't. I want it to be a nice hour and a half, tough game against other people. And the bots are just so fast in the game, and then you just make your turn. Everything happens. You could play a full game of Scythe in like 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. And it ends, and I'm just like, it's kind of boring. Nothing felt like it was happening, you know? But, yeah, they're fine. And then the last small one I should mention, just small compared to everything else, is I finally did something, again, just kind of so I could talk about it, and because I was really bored. I set up Tapestry, and I played the solo mode for Tapestry.
Ooh.
Nice. I hate solo games. It's boring. Again, I play for the social interaction, and solo is just not what I want to do. But I set it up, and I learned it, and I played it, and I mean, I wasn't fully playing it correctly because I just didn't care. I wasn't... after like the first turn, I just stopped scoring for the bot because I was like, I don't care who wins. I just want to see how this game plays. Mm. So I was keeping my score to see like what an average score would be for a solo game maybe and like that kind of stuff. But I was basically taking his turn, doing all his moves, but then not scoring for his stuff because I just didn't care. But it played really well. I played pure solo, so I had to play with, there's two bots. You play with the Shadow Empire, I think it's called, and just Automa, I think is what the second one's called, I think. I can't remember. But yeah, you play with, so it's you and two bots. And the one bot literally is just taking up tracks. He doesn't do anything else. And then one bot is actively getting Tapestry cards and kind of playing against you.
That's what the Shadow Empire is doing.
Yes. Right? Yeah. They have their own player board and stuff. Mm-hmm. And again, it was totally fine. I probably won't do it again, but I want to do it to see what it would be like. Because I was like, if I'm going to enjoy a solo game, it's going to be something like Tapestry, something I really like that it's like like a tech tree strategy game that I like, right?
Yeah, for sure.
But it was fine. And that's it for my not with you guys.
So all together now.
There was one that was just me and you.
Yeah.
Timeline.
We did play a little bit of Timeline.
Yeah, we played a little bit of Timeline.
We did.
We did the, what's it called? Music and movies?
Cinema.
Movies, music and cinema.
Yeah.
So we played that one for a bit. I honestly can't remember who won.
I think you did because I guessed wrong.
Okay. It was like by one card, though.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
And then we were just throwing cards down guessing dates.
Yeah, right? I'm like, Dan, yes. Dan, where do you think this one came out? Dan, where do you think this one came out?
That's how
every game of Timeline goes in the end.
And yeah, I
especially with two players, because a full game of Timeline with two players ends in like 4 minutes.
It really does. You know? Timeline is by no means like a perfect game, but right. if you find the version of it you really like, you can have a lot of fun with it.
Talk about the best game and ever that is also a box of amazing flashcards, by the way.
Right.
It's just, it's so good.
No, that's a good point. It's a good point.
Yeah, Timeline's really good. Dan and I took some time and we played in the same day two games of Mind Management. We played the training version, which is the just stripped down bare bones 1v1. Well, not 1v1 necessarily. It was just 1v1, but there's no frills, no extra abilities, no bells and whistles trying to track down somebody and deduce where they're at, which was fine and pretty good. And then we played the full version. And it was amazing.
It was fantastic. Yep. We're going to have a review going up very soon right there, and that review will also link to an unboxing. You'll probably want to check out the unboxing, because while it's a lot of us rambling, that box is insane.
The box is insane and
so
totally
cool
worth it.
Looking.
Yeah.
And then the next day, we took Mind Management over to Spencer's for game night, and Spencer got to play Mind Management, and it still sings. Like playing it again.
Four players instead of two.
Right.
It was great.
Yeah, it was really good. It was really intense, and I mean, it was just down to the wire. I mean, we're like, we don't know where the heck he is, but at the same time, we're like standing on top of him.
Yeah,
and we are, we're just.
This is something I talked about in the review for Mind Management. I won't go in depth. This will give you a little hint as to what I thought, though. But I think that hidden movement is quickly becoming one of my favorite game mechanics. I love the way hidden movement feels. I had never played any, really. And then in the last couple months, I've played like three different hidden movement games. Mm-hmm. And I love it on either side. I don't care. Either, again, I like puzzly feeling things.
Yeah.
And from the agent side and Mind Management, you're trying to figure out this puzzle and do all that. And like, okay, well, he could have been here or here. And then that branches out. But then from the recruiter side, you're, this tensity that you don't get in most. It's like Social Deduction and Hidden Movement are like the two where you really get that heart beating.
That tension,
they're going to catch me, man.
Yes.
I love it.
And then because of the way that the recruiter has to move in Mind Management, he's making a snake, right? And like Snake, you can't double back on your own path. There is asymmetric power that you can have, which could let you jump. Over
twice max, though.
Twice max.
Oh, wow.
And again, the amazing thing about Mind Management is that the team that loses gets to open up a pack, which gives them a new power. So
next time,
it kind of makes it a legacy game, but it's not really a legacy game.
Yeah, it's like a legacy game in mechanics only.
Well, it's almost like I guess like Charterstone or something, where as you're playing and you're unlocking, and it's like, now the board is going to get more functionality.
Right. I haven't played Charterstone. I didn't know if there was any
story. Oh, I spoiled everything.
Yeah, I know. I didn't know if there was any story.
No, there's definitely a story. But Mind Management doesn't have that like story progression. Right. It's just now you played it this way. Now we're going to add another mechanic.
I would actually bet that there probably is story progression, but it's not like the way you would think. It's just like background lore and stuff that you learn as you get more cards out of there, and they just have all
because they have
all
the little mini comics.
And I wouldn't be surprised if as you're playing and you get to like the last box, you open it up and they're like, look through all the other things and here are all the secrets that we didn't show you.
I mean,
you guys haven't unsolved the cryptic story yet.
Yeah,
you got
so
us.
Much. There's so much.
Every time I play any hidden movement game, I like automatically compare it to the one that I played when I was growing up, Scotland Yard, and just the way they change it around. Because Scotland Yard is bare bones hidden movement.
Yeah.
Like in this one, you had those, what do you call
mind
them?
Slip.
The mind slips. And that was very much like taking that extra
subway
ticket or whatever it was.
Well, and it's like Letters from Whitechapel where you take a carriage day.
This is interesting to compare them.
So you put that down and we know he moved two spaces
exactly.
or whatever.
How did they put this game together? Did they get influence from that one, or is it just a coincidence?
Well, I mean, when you've got a game like Scotland Yard that was like the first one to do that kind of thing,
all others compared to
just take that and change it slightly to make it fit their theme and everything. And again, that's how I want you to leave this conversation. If you like hidden movement, or if you like psychological 80s espionage, specific.
I would say 60s, 70s.
Cold War. Sorry, I went too late. Cold. I didn't even think about the Cold War thing, and I just art style looks early 80s to me, like that color thing. But check it out. Check out Mind Management. Yes. I highly doubt you'll be disappointed.
I would just say if you like any kind of hidden movement game, if you enjoy those kind of games, it's almost a blind buy. Mm-hmm. But watch our review first.
Yep, it's up there, or it will be very soon.
Sure. Let's see what kind of number we gave it.
And then after we played Mind Management, we played Kemet, Blood and Sand,
Blood
which is
Sand.
Second edition. And
I'm just kidding.
What? It's not called Second Edition. I got that one right. But yeah, it's really basically first edition Kemet with some
expansions.
Different art and some expansions integrated. And they do add some rules that power you up a little earlier, which then makes what Kemet already plays kind of fast anyway, so it makes it even a little bit faster. The nice thing, whether you have a good time playing these kind of games or not, is Kemet is not a game that overstays its welcome. Anytime I've ever played it, it usually goes relatively quickly. And
I mean, it felt like one of those things where, like, I felt like we had just started, then I looked over the turn track and I was like, Spencer's about to win! It's so fast.
Yeah, but I think we all had a pretty good time playing that. And again, great components in that game. Lots of good things. We have a review of that as well coming soon, if it's not already up.
Correct.
All right. Any other games we have played? Is that it?
I think that's it.
News?
That's it.
All right. Let's get into news. Jeff?
What just happened? I have no idea. Anyway.
You
it's
missed
the
that.
News boys. Hour.
The news boys are dead.
Anyway. Yeah. Yes. I saw a game this week that I just had to talk about.
Uh-huh.
It's called Vagrant Song. Have you guys heard of this?
Vagrant Song.
Yeah.
No.
So it takes place in the early 20th century.
So the 80s.
Yes.
The 80s.
Tell me. Hold on. Let me stop you right there. Let me just guess. Is this a bunch of homeless people that form barbershop quartets in like little Hoover towns across the United States?
I'd play that.
Well, you got one word out of that right.
Barbershop.
Okay, Jeff, what is it?
It's the Vagrant Song, right? It's homeless people singing.
So it's homeless people.
Yes.
Oh, that's two words.
But
okay.
They board a train because they hear a haunting song. Yes. Yes. They board this train because they hear a haunting song, only to find out they can't escape the train.
Oh.
And they have to fight ghosts, or in this game they call them haints. Okay. And they have to save the souls of people on the train who have previously been
These are 1920s era hobos getting caught on trains that our have to then where are the souls of the people that they're trying to save on the train?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. And they do this by singing in a barbershop quartet in Hoovervilles.
Tim, I'm going to have to have you take the barbershop quartet and just throw it away.
Okay. I'm going to need to get all the way off my back.
I don't know. Actually, it sounds kind of neat.
So it is described as a campaign.
Barbershop quartet. Oh.
Okay.
Oh.
Co-op driven boss rush.
Boss rush.
Okay.
And you're upgrading your characters as
you
go along.
Boss rush is a video game term.
And it's also heavily based in early American folklore and ghost stories.
Okay. So you're probably going from train car to train car.
Snowpiercer.
A little bit, yeah.
That's probably.
Yeah.
So it's Snowpiercer with a barbershop quartet.
Of course, the thing that you guys will instantly be like, oh, this is why Jeff wants it. The
Cuphead
style,
did the art.
Yeah,
rubber hose animation style.
Very nice.
But it looks very spooky. It has a very washed out color palette, mostly grays and blues,
except for
blood.
I do like grays and blues.
Yeah. The board looks like a very long train car, but it's also blue and red checkerboard.
Okay.
Also faded in like gray.
Okay.
Kind of stuff. It just looks really cool. It's coming out on the website. It says this fall. Doesn't get an exact date.
Sure.
You can order now for like $70.
Right on.
Pre-order right it. On. But
might have to try to get one of those for the show and check
it
out.
Just looks so cool. It kind of reminds me of Planet Apocalypse a little bit.
Oh, sure.
Well, you got this. Tim's
with,
attention.
With the setup.
Hey, everybody here at this table had a good time playing Planet Apocalypse.
Yeah. I'm just saying that that's every time I'm describing a game from now on. I'm just like, Tim, I really think you're going to like this new economic-driven game.
Sounds just like Planet Apocalypse.
Honestly, it's kind of like Planet Apocalypse.
I'm in.
Yeah, you should check it out.
It's like Apocalypse and Cthulhu Wars combined.
I'm a little put out by the lack of barbershop quartets.
Right.
But, you know.
You know, I'm sure you could, like.
Can you wear a seersucker suit?
Why not?
Yes.
Who else has news?
I have news.
Can it have nothing to do with music? Please?
You know what, though?
Nothing to do with music.
Honestly, as much as I was joking around with Jeff, that sounds really cool, and that's not anything I'd heard of.
Thanks,
that
Jeff, really for coming unique. On the show so I could just talk over you the entire time.
All right, Spencer. I'm ready for you now.
So about barbershop quartets.
Yes.
All right, you've all played Gloomhaven?
Yes.
No.
So Gloomhaven Online has been basically in the beta.
Is this a sad barbershop quartet game?
Oh, my God.
No, this is happy. They are announcing on October 20th, they're releasing the full game of Gloomhaven Online, which is the original campaign plus the co-op Guildmaster mode.
Oh, okay.
It's 250 missions between the two of them. If you have played and saved games in your Guildmaster mode, they will transfer to the new one.
Nice.
But if you've been playing the campaign that they've had, they might or might not. They don't know yet.
Okay.
But, that might be a really... It's like $35. So
it looks fantastic.
Way to get into it. Yeah.
Is this a free update for people who have already have the game or no?
No, you have to buy in.
If you already own the game,
you have to get the buy-in to buy the full version. I don't know
how. Because the beta was
more. Oh, it's only the beta. Okay.
I highly doubt it. Because this is on Steam. And Steam, what you do is, it's kind of like kickstarting. You buy a game before it's out and knowing there's going to be glitches and stuff. But then when it releases, you already own the game. That's how Steam does
it.
But
if it was a cheaper version, like the beta was a cheaper version.
Usually you just got into it.
Okay, cool.
For that. Usually. That's just how Steam usually
does it. Would you say that you got that game for a song?
No.
Okay.
Anything else?
And that's my swan song.
Woo!
He got it free.
Okay. He got it free.
So anybody that is a fan of those hilarious Steven Rhodes shirts... Like, for example, Let's Summon Demons, where it looks like a children's like 70s book
or
a 60s book.
Oh, yes, I love those.
Those are great. So Cryptozoic has announced September 28th, they are releasing three Steven Rhodes games. So there's Let's Dig for Treasure, Let's Summon Demons, and Don't Talk to Strangers. So
nice.
Let's Summon Demons is like some kids around with a body that's in a pentagram, and... The Don't Talk to Strangers is like kids talking to a green alien. And then Let's Dig for Treasures is like kids digging up graves. So I have no idea what any of these do. Like it looks. So Let's Dig for Treasures is a push-your-luck style game. Let's Summon Demons is your goal is to summon all three of your demons before their opponents by rolling dice, activating cards, and getting soul tokens. And then Don't Talk to Strangers, you're navigating kids from school to scoring spaces that reward them with points and unique bonuses. But you draw a stranger card, and strangers can abduct the children. So
because they're aliens.
Yeah. So each of these games is going to be like $20 each. So it's a nice little small box game. Cryptozoic does DC Deck Builder, which is one of the greatest games ever made. So how can these games not be good? But if you like that kind of art style and that sort of like snarky theme... Go for it. I'll honestly, if I get a chance to play any of these, I absolutely will. Because they look like silly fun. Right?
I'm kind of confused, though.
Yes.
None of them feature Barbershop Quartet.
Very disappointed.
That'll be the next round.
Very disappointed in that.
It'll be a lot of cutting around pointless conversations
this episode.
We never edit.
But yeah, that's my news. Also, I guess Restoration Games, their new one that they're going to be putting out, I believe it is going to be coming to Kickstarter. Or I guess it could come to GameFound, but I think Restoration does Kickstarter mostly. I could be wrong. Anyways, they're going to come to crowdfunding in like 2 weeks from when this drops. Thunder Road Vendetta. So this is like an old 80s game that is sort of a cross between Mad Max and Death Race 2000 or whatever that one was called from the 70s.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of details out on it yet, but there is all the hype. So if you're on Facebook or social media and you follow Restoration Games, you're seeing all these little hype things. They got like the box art. The box art looks really cool. I think it could be.
Looking over at the logo and it looks kind of extreme.
But so these kind of games could be pretty good. It will be interesting to see what Restoration Games does with it. I did not. Their Fireball Island was fine. Their second print of it was way better than the first print, which the Kickstarter that everybody backed.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got it in these really chintzy boxes, which is terrible. I would have been so angry. I felt so bad. I felt so bad for Bob when I picked up his Kickstarter box and it like crumpled in my hands. Oh. And it's like, you spent $120 on this, dude? And I felt, I didn't even want to bring it up because I, you don't want to rub salt in the wound. Mm-hmm. Now, I went and bought like a second, much cheaper $30 version from a big box store.
Crazy.
And the box is nice and sturdy. And it's basically, that kind of game is like a toy for your kids.
Right.
Which is what it gets used for. But I am interested to see what the return for from Dark Tower looks like.
Oh, gosh.
Because that is Restoration Games. You know, so they do put out good things. So we'll see what they do with this. Whether it's a straight reprint or whether they tweak it and do some new rules and updates and things like that.
And they did just recently put out a news about the Dark Tower. It's coming along.
It's coming along. Nice. People were playing it at Gen Con.
Oh, gosh.
So we had a commenter ask a question on our last board game rundown. Asking, I think it was Potato Legion. Is that what his name was? Potato Legion. But anyway, asking us to go more in depth on The Hunger.
The Hunger.
Deck building game by Richard Garfield. So obviously I should say we don't.
Really quickly, I have one last piece of news before we get into that.
Okay.
Just really quick piece of news. I thought people might be interested in really quickly. Square Enix announced a new game this week for consoles. And I think our tabletop brother would be really interested in it. It's called Voice of Cards, The Dragon Roars, or the Isle Dragon Roars. It's basically an RPG, but everything is represented by cards on a table.
Okay.
But it's a video game.
Yes.
Okay. Interesting. So it's like a Summoner Wars kind of thing.
But the conversion is there.
Not even Summoner Wars, because even like the world map is represented by cards.
Okay.
Interesting.
Stuff. Yeah. Anyway, I thought people would be interested in that.
I don't know.
Sorry to interrupt you, Dan.
You're fine. Mine's just news, too.
So it was Pumpkinhead 76.
Pumpkinhead. Potato Legion P. You know, they will start with a P.
Yeah, sorry. You were so close.
Pumpkinhead Potato Legion. I really don't know where that came from.
So do you really like that Lance Henriksen movie from the late 80s, early 90s?
Yes. I don't know what you're talking about.
Potato Legion?
Really?
No, Pumpkinhead is the name of that movie.
I was like, I've never.
You walked right into it, too.
Yeah, I did. So we don't have a copy of the game, so we're just going off what we've heard and seen. And our friends at Board Game Mechanics did do a how to play kind of on it in review, so you can check them out as well.
Yep.
If you want more information, but basically it's by Renegade Game Studios, who
does Clank.
I really like. Yeah, I mean Clank. They Fuse. Do the Western West Kingdom games, Architects.
Oh,
something like that. Yeah, Viscounts. They did Arboretum. They did Fuse, I think is what you just said. I mean, we're fans.
Yeah, they do a lot of good games.
And it was designed by Richard Garfield, which, of course, everyone knows mainly for Magic the Gathering.
Right,
and,
but also like Bunny Kingdom recently.
And Keyforge.
Bunny Kingdom's really good. Keyforge is fun, yeah.
So The Hunger is a 2-6 player game where you're playing as vampires. And basically, you all start in the middle of the board, and then when morning starts, when the game starts, you are racing out away from the castle in the center
you
of the board.
You mean nighttime starts.
Right, sorry. When nighttime starts, the opposite. When nighttime starts, you're racing away from your castle in the middle, and you're basically getting getting items from chests, and you're like you're
feeding on people.
Yeah, feeding on people by hunting and stuff. And the point of the game is to basically get as many as points as you can during night, and then make sure you make it back to the center of the board before morning falls, or you die in the sun.
Well, there's make it to the graveyard outside of the castle, you don't score as many points, but you still can score points.
Right, it's still in the middle of the board.
Right,
But yes, there's basically the middle of the board, you lose nothing, and then there's like three or four graveyard spots where you lose like 5 points or something.
And then there's an interesting mechanic as far as like the scoring. It kind of does the Dominion thing where you can score these points, but they clog up your deck. Mm. So it makes it harder to get back, which I like more than when it's used in Dominion, because when it's used in Dominion, it's just bleh. But in this, it's like it's that part of that cost-benefit analysis, right? Yeah. It's like, okay, like how much is this going to slow me down if I'm clogging up my deck and I'm trying to get back, you know.
Talking about the cost-benefit thing, something that I thought was pretty unique here that I haven't really seen much is so your cards have speed on them, and that's how far you can move on your turn. You can move up to 6 or something, right? And then you choose where to stop. So you have to stop on certain locations to like you know, go on a hunt, and you have to stop in certain locations to do other things, so you don't necessarily always move your full movement. But also, if you get to the very end of the board, you get this asymmetric power via rows that helps you on your way back to the castle. So that's something. But what I was going to say was, so if you roll if you have 6 speed and you only move 3 spots, you have three left over. That three is now your currency.
Yeah.
So your currency for buying the cards for the deck builder is your unused speed.
Well, that's
so the further you move in the game and make more progress and get further into the better locations of the game, you can't get cards.
Which is a nice way to differentiate it from like Clank.
Yeah,
instead of just being a reskin of Clank. Mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong, Clank is one of my favorite games. I love Clank so much, which is one of the reasons why this game sounds so appealing to me. But the fact that it does something different, right, and changes that mechanic, like just that nice little twist on it, just kind of makes it even more interesting.
Yeah, yeah. And the hunt board on the side there, they come out and they start at like a cost of three or whatever, and then as more cards come out, they slide and become cheaper and cheaper. Mm-hmm. Right, classic kind of mechanic mm-hmm. there,
which is also a nice thing though too. Yep. Right, it gives you another variant.
The board is actually, I didn't know the board is double-sided.
Okay.
One side is like easy mode, mm-hmm. kind of. Like, so you can use that for learning how to play the game or if you're playing with younger people and stuff. Like, so there's an easy mode. Mm-hmm. And then the normal side. And then you have like missions that are like secret little end game things. So have the most eaten church humans or something, right? And
church humans.
Yeah, well, it's
not
literally,
clergy.
Right. It shows like the church symbol and then says like person or whatever. But
the church symbol.
So yeah, you'll be collecting these.
What
things.
If you eat church elves?
Right. So anyway.
You have to be in a barbershop quartet for that to happen.
High five.
But I mean, that's basically all I have.
Hey, for a bunch of guys that have not played the game, I feel like we did a good job of getting in there and covering it. But yeah, if anybody watching this has played The Hunger, let us know. Jason, specifically you. I mean, we could watch your video, but
that you think is important to mention there. Because
feel free to show your video in the comments.
Because like we said, Potato Legion really wanted to know.
There goes unsub.
I just literally have no idea where that came from. My brain just said, okay, it starts with a P and it's two different words.
Yeah, you're like something that grows.
Yeah, but yeah, you wanted to know a bit more. That's all I got without actually having the game and rule book in front of me here, just from you know the basic stuff that's out there.
It looks really good. Again, our friend Jason has played it, and it seems like he really liked it.
Yep.
So
I mean, again, it's Richard Garfield and Clank. It'll be
why not.
Fine.
Any other news?
Yeah, I got one more thing because we forgot to say this last week. Uh-huh. I didn't see that Dominion had a new freaking expansion.
Another one. There's still expansions.
It's like the 16th expansion or something.
Are they
going to
come out with a deluxe edition with all the expansions?
Right. They can't call it big box though. They
got
to call it like
they've already got
giantest,
a big box.
Biggest, hugest,
biggest box.
Yeah.
Dominion definitive.
Yeah,
the biggest box.
So Dominion Allies.
Can I get just like one box of Dominion and it's the diminutive?
Oh, that was a good play on words, and then I'll move on. It's by Rio Grande and designed by Donald X. Vaccarino. A 14th. It's the 14th expansion. I actually wrote that down here. It comes with 400 cards. 31 new kingdom card piles that contain allies, right, that you'll be getting to help you.
That's the name.
Who do you favors and split piles that you can rotate.
Interesting.
I don't know what any of that means, guys. I don't like Dominion. I've only played base game. I haven't played any of the expansions. There are far better deck builders out there, I think, but that is, again, without the expansions. But, yeah, so I don't know. Again, 31 kingdom card piles that contain allies who do favors and split piles you can rotate. I don't know what that sentence means.
Rad. Oh, that sounds cool.
Yeah. One more small thing. Blitzkrieg was a super famous game that came out not too long ago. It was kind of like
invented by the Germans.
Yeah.
We established. Pre-filming.
It's the next kind of step in like the Twilight Struggle and stuff like that. It was like a small version. I think it's literally Blitzkrieg World War II in 20 minutes. So they announced Caesar. The sequel. So it's the same kind of system, same thing, but now it's Caesar instead of World War II.
Caesar versus Hannibal, maybe?
No, this has nothing to do with Silence of the Lambs.
Hannibal was Scipio
Africanus. You too, Brutus.
Oh,
whoops. But yeah, so that's all my news. If any of that interested you, there you go. Look it up. Get more info.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to spread the word.
So back on games we played real quick before we go into crowdfunding.
I don't like this.
I was playing Dice Legacy.
Oh, yeah.
On Switch.
I'm close to buying it.
And... as you're progressing and you're building buildings and your territory is like growing, right? And you're growing and growing and growing. And I'm like, sweet, I think I've finished this scenario because there's just like a couple of buildings and I can see water again. You start at water and I'm like, boom, I set up this catapult, and it just starts attacking, like, this one building, and then the building crumbles, and I'm like, cool, now I think I just need to build, like, something closer to the water, and if I'm touching the water, maybe I win, because it doesn't tell you how you win. Do you know what happens?
No.
Oh, my gosh. So I knock down this building, and I start to scroll down, and I hear this horrible noise, this ominous music. So I scroll back up, and there's this Cthulhu monster crawling out of the water, which was apparently being kept at bay by whatever building that I just knocked down.
Are these spoilers?
I don't know.
I don't know.
This thing just slowly starts crawling across the map, and my buildings are just crumbling and crumbling.
So it just became your favorite video game
and crumbling.
You didn't think it was
going to
be that easy, did you?
And I am frantically Googling, how do you kill the monster in Dice Legacy? Nobody has anything. I'm rolling dice. Oh my God. I'm trying to assign things to it. Nothing happens. I just watch for 4 minutes as my thing, as this thing destroys my whole thing, and then I lose.
Oh, my goodness. That's great.
Hey, greed.
And I have no idea.
The game taught you that you don't always have to destroy everything
you
see.
Next time, don't destroy the things you don't know what they're there for.
I mean, I've destroyed 50 buildings that look just like that one.
That is amazing.
And I was like, what is happening? What is happening? What is happening? What is happening?
Number 51.
But it was pretty fun, and it made for a good story.
That
actually happened. If anybody knows how to stop that thing, please comment, because I couldn't find anything online. All I could find was reviews.
This will be one of those things that, like, it told you in the tutorial, and you're like, whatever.
I gave up on that tutorial because I hated it. Because the tutorial didn't.
Maybe you're the only one who's gotten to it.
I doubt that. Look at this. This face says it all.
What a fool.
I should almost be offended by that sentiment. Not yours, his. Yeah. Like, really? Really? But anyways, Dice Legacy. It's been pretty fun. It's been a good experience, but I was really, what is happening? Okay, so
that's
crowdfunding.
Incredible. Crowdfunding.
I've been dying to tell you about that.
Yeah.
I was like, I'll save it for
I
the
had
show.
No idea.
I'll
that's
save it
amazing.
For the show, because I was almost texting you. I almost took a picture of it. It was like, damn, what is happening to me?
Taking a picture of it.
Oh, man. So who's got some crowdfunding?
We've all got some crowdfunding.
Yeah, I know you're covering that.
Yeah.
I'm covering the other obvious one.
Yeah.
That's
great.
What I was doing as
yeah,
well.
That's fine.
Okay, so
yeah.
Do you have something?
I think you guys took mine.
Oh.
Vagrant Song. It's about the, listen, let me give you the elevator pitch. Hobos, right? With the bindle, seersucker suits, straw hats, but they're like dirty because they're homeless. Get on a train. They go from town to town singing to ghosts. To make the ghost leave. Because they're in a barbershop
song.
Quartet.
Vagrant Song.
Listen, guys, exactly. Drugs are bad.
drugs are bad.
I caught him drinking before.
This is almost as good as that. What was that? Hamburg and whatever.
Oh, man. It's Stroganoff. Peter Stroganoff.
Stroganoff.
Peter Stroganoff and John Beef.
John Beef. It's
the
Beef and Stroganoff.
Oh, my
it's
goodness.
It's just like that. Okay, let's go
so
on.
So Spencer and I are covering a relaunch to
yep.
Kickstarter.
Yes,
relaunch.
Now, it's kind of like a supplemental mm-hmm. relaunch. So please
yeah.
continue.
But yeah, we covered them in the past. Daimyo Senso.
Daimyo Senso.
Well, I'm trying to say, because they pronounce their I's as a separate letter, right? So it's not Dai, it's Dai. Right?
Sir.
I'm just saying.
But we're English,
I'm trying
so
to say it right.
Wait, but you are the fan of Eastern culture.
Daimyo. Okay. Daimyo. That's okay. How I've always pronounced it.
Yeah, I've always said Daimyo.
So it
daimyo.
Means War of the Lords, basically.
Yep, Daimyo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, go ahead.
Well, it goes to October 23rd, so there's plenty of time. It's a 1-to-8-player game.
Yep.
Yeah.
The map is Japan. It's feudal era Japan, mm-hmm. and there are 8 different factions vying for control.
Specifically,
Japan.
Not just feudal area, but Sengoku.
Name the, name
Sengoku
the wrong,
era.
Sengoku
name the wrong
era
time
Japan.
Period.
I only did that with art history because I majored
year,
in it.
What years what, did that happen? Was that 1800s, 1880s?
The 1980s.
1980s.
So,
the cool thing about this game is
20 minutes. There are no dice. There are no cards. There's no luck involved at all. It's all strategy. And when you're moving, there's really only 3 things you do: you attack, you move, or you deploy. Mm-hmm. and it's done over a year, so there's one for each season. Every single faction gets a different order in which they do those. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so there's a table.
Which is one of the really neat things about that.
Right. It has like a preset programming thing in where you know if you're this faction, you're going to attack, move, attack,
deploy.
Deploy. But I know that Spencer's going to deploy, move, attack, attack. And so I look at who's after me and who's before me, and you kind of plan your turns out with that. And that's very interesting. I will say, to slightly correct something you said earlier, maybe I misheard, there are cards in the game there are cards that are asymmetric, and they do give you powers that basically buff whatever action you're doing. So while doing a deploy, play this card that buffs your deploy in X way, right? So that is a thing.
So every one of them gets its own asymmetric power, and they also have added cards that we didn't have where it's an option. You can change how you do it.
Because we had a bare bones prototype, which was nice to be able to get the opportunity.
So it's like an advanced mode. You get to determine your order.
I see it early.
Didn't see if it's one where you determine it at the beginning of the game and it stays throughout, or if you change it around.
Yeah, I'm excited because it looks like we're going to get a fully produced copy of this, and I really want to give it a good go and get to play it, you know, with some people and really kind of dive in. Because now that it's a complete and fully fleshed out game, you know, I think it's got a lot of potential. Great. So
the tokens were like little wooden tokens.
Yeah, I was not expecting that because I kept looking. It doesn't say in the component list that they're wooden. It just says, you know, this many tokens, this many per faction. And then you look at all the pictures, and every picture they're like wooden cutout tokens. And I'm like,
it's either they're wooden or they're really good at looking like.
That's true. It could be that because they really look wooden.
Yeah.
So $75.
Yep.
There's a bunch of other pledges, but $75 is like the game. And then there's like, do you want three copies? Do you want the retailer thing? Like all that kind of stuff.
Right. Is it still going to be a playmat, or is it just like a board now?
There is a playmat, but I actually don't know if the playmat's base game. That's a great question.
Yeah. I don't know. That.
And just so you guys know, the relaunch is already completely funded.
Yep.
And again, this is just another opportunity for people to buy the game because he's basically self-publishing.
Yeah, it was
right?
limited, and so he's just trying to reach more people.
Right. And this is Nathan Lusk, Warrior with a Pen. So again, I appreciate the fact that we even got to see a preview copy, and really do look forward to seeing what the final.
It's an area control fighty fight game.
Yep.
Yeah, which are your favorite kinds, right, Dan?
Yes. Fighty fight games.
I'll go next. I guess I'm gonna just talk about Quests and Cannons, the Risen Islands. If anything, just go watch their trailer. YouTube trailer, their trailer video for the Kickstarter with the stop motion and the really strong
stop motion.
Really strong voiceover work. Did you watch it?
Also, I'm going to snap to, we have a full preview of this game, and we only talk it up. So, I mean, this game looks fantastic.
And we saw a pre-production copy of it.
Yes.
But it already looks so good.
Yeah. And, you know, so this is by Eric Geller and
Shannon
Geller, his wife. And so just so you know, there's like a standard game pledge, which is $60, which still is pretty dang good. And the champion pledge is the deluxe pledge, which then gives you a double-sided neoprene full board quick play mat, metal coins, and 6 custom dice.
And this is also one that has a pledge that goes all the way up to like 1,500, I think.
Oh my goodness.
And this is like you get to design some of the champions and stuff for the DLC, the expansions that's going to be coming out. You get to design their backstory, their look, their name.
So basically get to buy your way into being an employee?
Yeah, you get to buy your way into development, 100%. Yes.
Yeah.
And they're still on all of those. There's like an 800 and a 1,500 something. They all still have spots available from the last time I checked.
But sometimes on these, though, like nobody gets those.
Yeah.
And four out of the 6 have been bought out of that 1,500 one.
Insane.
How much is that metal coin one with the
100?
$100.
Oh, for the deluxe edition.
So
that's not that bad.
So the preview copy that we got, if you would have told me that was a $100 game, I would have been like, yep. With how well those components were and how well designed those components were, right?
It's Quest and Canis is a pick up and deliver game with some like, I don't know what to call
combat.
It, skirmish, but some fighting mechanics in there too. The main things you're
kind of like in Zaya, where you can raid other people's ships and things like that.
So it's kind of like a complete your own quests and do pick up and deliver, but then you can also fight and stuff. And just all mechanics in here, your cannons are dice that you roll, and then you lose ammo. Like your ammo is are dice, and you're losing dice and re-getting dice. You're filling up your ship with goods and tossing goods overboard if you need to, and going around completing quests. Then you're turning in that quest for more points, and it's like first to like 15,
16, yeah, it might depend on the player count.
Too. That's a good point. Yeah. Somewhere in the 15 to 20 range, it's like just first to victory points. When we played, we purposely played the 2v2v2 mode, a three team mode, because
we thought
not a lot of people would test that out. We wanted it tested, and it played phenomenally.
And it played fast.
And I've only heard good things about the other game styles as well. I'm telling you guys, if you like that kind of game and this theme and this artwork's going to grab a lot of people. Mm-hmm. This is a fantastic game. Can't talk highly enough about Quest and Cannons of the Risen Islands.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. Anybody got any others? I'll do the last one.
We know which one you want to do.
Well, I did Quest and Cannons. That's the one I really wanted.
Yeah, that's the one you really wanted to do.
You did yours already, right?
I didn't have one.
You didn't have one. Okay,
we stole his.
Cool. Yeah, I guess we did. That's fine.
This one.
I'm going to get on my soapbox real quick. My Seaman soapbox. Get that thing out.
What's happening?
Here we go. He-Man.
Yeah, He-Man.
Masters of the Universe, the board game, Clash for Eternia. So, Seaman's got another, $1.3 million.
Out of 200,000.
Right. It's always,
always low ball.
It's always out of 200,000. I think some of that strategically is just to make their, 5,000% funded.
Oh, exactly. In 5 minutes. Yeah,
right,
exactly.
Right. But some of the pledge levels. So it's $110 and it will not ship to Europe, which basically gives you the main game, or you can spend $220 and get the Defender of Grayskull pledge, which comes with the plastic Castle Grayskull pack and the Faker villain along with the board game. And you do get one expansion. But here's the other thing. Here's what they do with Marvel United that I hated. Is like, there's another expansion.
You get the whole game. Not.
There's another expansion you can buy. And now they're doing this thing where supposedly it is not going to come to retail.
Isn't that what they always...
No, not what they always say. They have only ever done that with Hate.
Oh, okay.
Which then, if you wait 2 years, yeah, you could get it from an online retailer for cheaper than what you backed it at if you were a Kickstarter backer, and you could get all of the Kickstarter exclusives. So I've got a friend that is backing all of this, and he's really excited because he, at the very least, will use the He-Man miniatures for a role-playing game, and which is fine. If this does appeal to me, because as a kid, I really liked He-Man. I liked Thundercats. I liked He-Man more than I liked Transformers. I was like a He-Man G.I. Joe guy, right?
I have to leave.
Sorry.
I was Voltron and Thundercats.
And the minis look awesome. The art looks great. The production quality is going to be amazing. I'm sure the game plays really well.
I mean, they got the IP. They might as well make every single figure they can.
I mean, there's all sorts of really cool stuff and tons of minis and all the characters, because He-Man was a cartoon that was made to sell toys, literally. I mean, it was we are launching a toy line. We need a cartoon.
We need backstories for these toys.
Yeah. I mean, that's really how it came around. Yeah. And so it's fine. And there's all this awesome nostalgia stuff, and it looks like it's actually wrapped up in a pretty decent game. But I just hate the way that Seaman does things sometimes.
So those are the only two pledge levels, right? 110 and 220, you said?
Yes. But even if you spend 220 to get everything, you don't get everything.
Yeah, so those are the pledge levels, but you then have to spend more for add-ons.
Right.
They just don't put those in pledges.
Right. And again,
and this is already all funded too.
Oh, way funded.
I feel like, so this reminds me of the whole HeroQuest and Hasbro thing, right?
Oh. Where,
it got whole funded, and you knew it was going to get funded.
Right.
And but why do you have to
But here's the problem with the HeroQuest Hasbro thing is that the Hasbro didn't do anything different.
Right.
Well, right.
They just said, here's the exact same game with no updates.
Right. We just bought the warehouse. All
and
the
we're
going to
sell you it for $200. And but this is the only time you'll be able to get it.
It kind of just feels familiar, They're trying to squeeze money out of that fan base,
Yeah, no, it does. It does. It does. It feels
good
like a cheap shot.
I'm not a fan.
Right.
Feels like a cheap shot. But anyways,
so are we moving on to our subject of the day.
Yes, let's go on to our subject.
Yes.
So our topic is
Barbershop quartets.
How dare you steal the joke I was about
mid sentence? He was literally setting that up for himself.
But you're theme, welcome. Game themes, and specifically interesting ways games have implemented the theme mm-hmm. in their game.
So what's terrible about this is that the one that sounds really interesting and most current, we can't talk about because it will spoil stuff for Spencer.
There is
another
game last week that you talked about.
That I was like, that's actually really cool.
Okay. Yeah.
The Cuphead Dice game.
Uh-huh.
Mainly because in the story, you're doing the things you're doing because you lose at a dice game. You lose your soul in a dice game, so you have to go collect all the other like souls or whatever. In Cuphead.
Yeah.
So the fact that it's a dice game is very interesting.
It's on theme.
Yeah.
If you lose the Cuphead dice game, you lose your soul.
And then you have to
not recommend.
So I'm very interested in hearing how all of our kind of list. This isn't like a top five list, but it is kind of like a list of all
like,
of us talking about
name
themes.
A game
yeah.
and why the theme is.
So I'm interested in hearing how we all interpreted Jeff's topic and like ran with it, and what kind of things we're bringing to the table here. Because even within my one list, there are games that like the way that they are doing what you're saying is completely different. But
right.
I'm just like, I want to talk about these.
You have like a list? I have like a game.
Oh, yeah. No, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 games I want
to
talk about.
So we'll get back to you later.
Yeah.
Actually, I think like, you need to go first.
Yeah,
you got
we
a
can
bunch
just like go down the list and see.
So the first thing I wrote down.
Terrible game.
Was Nemesis and Who Goes There?
Absolutely Nemesis.
Nemesis and Who Goes There. Well, mine's probably different than yours because I'm not talking about in general the theme is really good and everything, but just the way that they implement a mechanic into the theme is I love. And Who Goes There and Nemesis both have a thing I love, which Nemesis is super basic, but it just brings back that plugging the cards into the thing and you're looking through the red to like you're using a scanner to see if you've been infected. You're inserting the cards into those red scanners and it's eliminating the blue text and you're just looking for the word infected. And if basically on the scanners the word infected over and over again, but it's misspelled a bunch of ways. And if you ever see it spelled correctly, then you're infected and you have a chest burster inside of you.
Right.
And then Who Goes There has this similar really cool thing. I've actually never played it, but I've watched it played. I think you've played it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. To where to check someone's blood, basically when you're with them, you can check someone's blood to see if they're infected by the thing. And they have a little thing that they slide. They have a little clip. They slide back and forth and they reveal either the green side, which means they're clean, or the bloody red side, meaning their blood's infected. And so they just kind of slide it and they show you what their blood is. And a similar kind of thing, you know, check if you're infected. And I think both those do a really good way of getting you into that world of checking if someone's infected, but also bringing back old school, you know, Parker Brothers mechanics, you know, and yet having them be fun and interesting. And that's just something that
because what Nemesis is missing is that dice popper in the middle of trouble, right?
Right.
In the middle of the spaceship. Oh, it's the improbability drive.
There's how many aliens coming? We're in trouble.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry.
Spin the font out.
It's more like Boggle, in case over the entire board, and you pop it. And the whole everything just...
everything.
That's
the game
what
is airtight.
That's what I want to do when the alien's health changes. It's just mess that whole board up. Yeah, those are interesting.
Yeah.
That was the first thing that popped in my head when I was thinking about mechanics and theme mixed together in a way you don't see very often.
So I think for me, where theme and mechanics come through, and it's interesting because I had a pairing of games that use a similar thing as well, is, Infection of Outpost 31, right?
The Thing. I wrote down The Thing on my list as well, but I couldn't remember because that you just have the infection card and anything, everything.
Yeah, but I mean, more importantly, though, also then like Battlestar Galactica. Mm-hmm. So because the theme is you've got a hidden traitor, and this implements a hidden traitor mechanic in a way that I really like. Other games do it as well, also, I guess, but maybe not as well. Because you're going to send people on missions or to do things. and everybody's got to contribute. Well, everybody going on the mission or participating in the mission is contributing cards to the pile.
Right, Dead of Winter, Shadows over Camelot.
Yeah. And you can lobby, though, especially in the Infection Outpost 31. You're lobbying, like, well, don't take me.
Right.
I cannot help you.
I have bad cards.
I have bad cards. Or you can take me. I have bad cards. I'm the thing. Right. You know, and you're like sabotaging.
You should never say that loud in the game.
Maybe that's why I lose all the time.
I'm the thing.
And then also, though, like in the thing specifically, the very end of the game is so stressful.
Helicopter thing.
It is so stressful, and it's so much fun, as the person who is the captain is going to vote who to take with them on the helicopter. Choose wisely.
Yeah, and everyone... So the captain chooses someone, and then that person chooses someone.
Yeah,
and
I think
that
so.
Person
yeah,
chooses
yeah,
someone,
yeah, yeah.
And you go snake kind of until everyone agrees we're not taking anyone else. And then every human has to be on the helicopter, and no things have to be on the helicopter. That's
and
the
if you,
only way to win.
Yes. It's so,
hard.
It's so hard. Yeah.
Wasn't there a way
so
to like
fun.
Remove one person?
Flamethrower.
Yeah, the flamethrower. Yeah, I got to remember all the mechanics exactly now, but it's because it's been a little while since
I remember
I played.
I was the thing, and I got on the helicopter, and I remember in my head, because I don't remember the mechanic, but I remember in my head, I just imagined myself getting kicked out of the helicopter.
I don't think that's a thing, but I haven't played. I've just watched videos.
It's been a
I
while.
Talked to Tim about it.
Yeah, well, I'll have to go back and revisit. But it is a mechanic that is used specifically to bring out the theme.
Yep.
Yeah.
And really, really just drives it home.
I have to jump on this for a second because I didn't write this down. But since you brought that up, something that Battlestar Galactica does, again, is theme and mechanic.
And we haven't even touched Battlestar yet.
You're right.
Yeah,
I thought
on.
You were
kind of
summing
go for
it all
it.
Up.
Yeah,
there,
yeah, go for it.
So Gaius Baltar is the most untrustworthy scum. And by the way, probably my favorite character of the show. Everyone hates him. He is so well acted and so well written, but he's a terrible person.
Uh-huh.
And in the game, everyone gets a card saying whether you're a Cylon or a human. And Gaius Baltar starts with two cards because you're not supposed to trust Gaius Baltar. And I love that theme. So last time I played, I was Gaius Baltar. And I started with two cards, and I was not the Cylon. But no one trusted me, right? Then halfway through the game, everyone gets another card. Mm-hmm. And you might find out halfway through the game I was a Cylon, right?
Which is
you're a replicant.
Which is so thematic.
So thematic.
But anyway, so I got another card, and I was still not a Cylon. But now I had three cards. No one trusted me.
The odds of you not being a Cylon are low.
Then one of the Cylons came out. Right? They were like, I'm a Cylon. When a Cylon comes out, they give one of their two cards to another player at the table. So they might have two Cylon cards and they turn someone into a Cylon.
Oh.
Or they might have a Cylon and a human card and they do nothing. But they don't say, right, between the two players like
they
what they give.
You are so
right?
in Discord.
And they handed it to me.
They wanted to sow the
And
the
I was
mistrust.
Still not a Cylon.
But you had four
so
cards.
So I played a game of Battlestar Galactica when I had four cards as Gaius Baltar and was human. And I was like, guys, I'm good. And they're like, screw you, Gaius Baltar. Like, I loved it, man. It was one of the most thematic things I've ever seen. If you've seen the show, everything makes perfect sense to you.
Well, and also, though, like, so Battlestar is one that does it in multiple ways because there's the jump mechanic.
Yep. Oh,
and then,
such a good mechanic.
It's really good. And then there's the, like, event mechanic.
Talk about intensity in
a
game with that jump mechanic.
Yes. And then the politics, basically, of it, where you're going to have to make a decision. It's that King's Dilemma kind of decision where it's like, well, do we reserve our food? But then the happiness goes down, right? And people get upset. But we get to maybe do a little bit more stuff, or do you just kind of like try to please the people? That's not the only situation. Like, there's all kinds of situations that come up. Sometimes there's just no good decision, and it's like, what terrible thing
and the
do
president
we
just has to choose something?
Yeah, what terrible thing do you think we can endure? You know, and get through this. There's just so many good mechanics that make that show. That is one of the best implementations.
Which is why I'm super excited for Unfathomable, but I don't see how it could just so hit the nail on the head like Battlestar Galactica did.
Right.
I didn't even think about that jump thing though, because like for I know you've played it and stuff, but like. So you're trying to escape, right? The Cylons and the ships, the bad guy ships are just slowly showing up, and you're getting small ships, and then I can't remember what they're called.
Yeah,
now. Stars.
Those big cruisers.
They're called, like,
Dread
Stars or
yeah.
something like
Dreadnoughts.
That. But they like show up, and you're getting surrounded, and then you finally get your fuel to the jump, and you jump, right? Like, the whole point of the game is the first like two episodes of the show where you're just jumping and the Cylons catch up every 33 minutes or whatever.
Yeah.
And so you jump and you push all the alien ships off the board. We've jumped. But the point is they're slowly tracking us, so they just start slowly showing up again. And that's the game, is we just have to hold out till we can jump again. Uh-huh. Then we just have to hold out till we can jump again.
Yeah. And I'm going to get in a Viper and I'm going to scramble out.
I'm going to go shoot some down.
Yeah, buy us some time.
I could talk about Battlestar Galactic forever. It's so thematic.
But it is.
Great job.
It is it is one of the best implementations of theme, like, ever.
Another thing that with Nemesis that you didn't touch on is the noise token.
Mm-hmm. Right. Again, I was just covering that one mechanic,
we
could talk about
the noise
forever.
Token one. The idea is you're in the belly of a ship, and there are things somewhere. You're hearing noises all over. So as you are going through the ship,
and you're making noise.
You get to roll a die and see where the noise is coming from in the corridor. And every single time you're moving, the noise is like it's following you. It's a really basic thing, but it just makes the game. It makes the mechanic and the theme perfectly matched.
But I want to say, again, thanks for bringing this up, Spencer, because based on what you just said, which, again, I'm not saying this how you meant it, but there's a lot of people out there that say this. They play Nemesis, and they're like, it's not thematic. How come I move through corridor 3 and I put a noise token on corridor 4? That makes no sense. I didn't make that noise. And they're not understanding.
It's the noise.
That's not you making noise.
Right.
That's you hearing creepy noise.
Yeah.
That's where you heard
Yeah, it's
noise.
The opposite of Zombicide.
Yeah, that's why if you hear a noise in the same corridor, it's because there's definitely one down there.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So anyway, why when two show up,
yes, exactly.
It spawns there because that's where the noise is coming from. But yeah, again, if you've thought that, it's the opposite. A lot of people I've heard have talked about that in forums and
it's
stuff.
It's like points are bad.
Yeah, it's like points are bad. Makes no sense. But anyway, yes, noise tokens are good additions.
And another one that I thought of for how it fits with the theme, have you guys played Gravwell?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen it played.
Oh,
it's over
here
somewhere.
Yeah, it's right there somewhere. I think it's the one that says demo here on the side.
Gravwell is a pretty cool game where you're stuck in this spiral.
Hey, it's cryptozoic.
Yeah, go for it. You're stuck basically in a gravity well, and you're trying to escape. And the other ships that you're with are also trying to escape.
Yeah.
It's just a spiral, right?
Yes.
Yeah, basically, it's just a spiral board. So
do.
You're moving along.
Almost like you're in a gravity well.
And you have these.
That's
I love the cards, too. The cards all have different
elements
on them. And the numbers are what's important. So as you're going by and you hit a number, it will slingshot you, possibly past the person. Or if they happen to get in front of you, then you accidentally slingshot in front of them.
Because you move towards the closest object.
You're moving towards the closest. It's the gravity. You're moving toward the gravity. I'm like,
and you want to get to the center, but the singularity, but you're...
No, you're...
Oh, sorry.
No,
you're getting
away
from
the singularity. Sorry, that makes sense. But yeah, but so someone might... accidentally use a card that pushes them right behind you, and now you're playing a huge card on your turn that you're not flying backwards.
And the reason why
gravity.
It's got all of these elements on them is because you're looking at the letters, and you go in order.
Alphabetical
order. So if I am expecting you to move, I'm going to play Zircon, but if I play Neon, you might move before me, and I might just
screw myself
over.
Best part about
this
is that the overhead camera is not on.
I know. So I knew that when you put that there, and I just wasn't going to say anything. That's why when he put it there, I pointed up. It wasn't on.
There's the board for y'all. It's a spiral.
Yeah, no, Gravwell is very much
on theme. Very unique way of implementing race mechanic. You're right.
Yeah, so it works. I can't think of any other situation, any skin you could put on this that would fit quite as well.
Right, right.
So
yeah, especially with the way that you're always moving towards the nearest
object. We just
kind
of randomly unbox that, and I need to go into something. I'm not going to talk about art doing theme because everyone knows art brings up theme, I think, in the game. But I have a Back to the Future game, Back in Time, which we are going to play at some point.
I know, I want to. I've heard great things.
Yeah, it is so on theme that it blows my mind, and I didn't want to spoil this, but I'm going to because it's on topic. But you lift up the container, and the first thing you see is the back of the board, and it's the flux capacitor.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And it is so cool because the board is 1950s.
Hill Valley.
Hill Valley. Mm-hmm. Almost like you're going back in time as you're opening up the board. And I just love that so much. I've never seen like another board game do something like that, you know?
Sure.
Yeah, it's not on that same thing, but I've always loved it. When you open the Dark Souls game, the first thing you see is a piece of paper that just says, you died. And that's the mindset it wants you to
have.
Well,
Resident Evil 3 did that too, right?
It had something
similar.
Like
this contains violent scenes of violence and gore or whatever.
Right, which was like the screenshot at the beginning of the video game.
Right.
That picture.
Right.
And I mean, mind management, the whole thing is just...
That whole game is on theme.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean...
Right. I figured someone was going to mention this later, but the way that it does everything is pushing that story, that narrative.
Yeah. And sometimes when someone gets a theme out and you're like, maybe they had some mechanics beforehand, they put that skin on it and it seems like that's what brings out all the other extra stuff that they're going to do that make it just so good.
And I didn't know when you guys unboxed it originally that it was a comic book or graphic novel series. Mm-hmm. And when I looked it up, I was like, oh, some of the art there from the comic book and like the covers they're using in the like the boxes and everything like, you open up. So like,
even better.
So cool.
Even better.
Some stuff to run through. I'm interested in how many of these you know and how many like you think sound cool, right? I know you know the first one I mentioned, but I'm going to run through some here that are, again, a way that tie mechanic and theme together in an interesting, unique way to me. I just
Let's
love
do it.
So first of all, I know you know, but Marvel Champions having that alter ego mode is such a cool thing to do because it's just this theme to where, okay, I need to heal, so I go out of my superhero costume, I'm relaxing at home, but while I'm not a superhero, the bad guy is out there accomplishing his goals, and I'm not there to stop him, so he's scheming. And then if he's scheming too much, he's going to get away with all this stuff, so you got to suit up and go back out there. Now he can't scheme anymore because you guys are just fighting now. It's head-to-head because you're in... I love that system and controlling the team of, okay, I can rest now, but you can't.
And each mechanic for the specific hero...
Of course.
...is very...
Yeah, the asymmetric
in
abilities.
...in line... Doctor Strange is all about deck manipulation, and it's like, that's so Doctor Strange.
Anachrony. You haven't played Anachrony, but that time travel system in Anachrony, man.
Cool.
So you can, in Anachrony, it's all about this, like, dystopia,
this
post-apocalyptic
this cataclysm is about to happen. You know it's going to happen. So you're trying to be the dominant race that survives the cataclysm.
But you have time travel capabilities is a big thing in the game. And one of the things you can do is you can say, okay, we're on turn 3. On turn 5, I'm going to borrow 3 uranium from myself from the future because I need it now as a currency. But then when you get to turn 5, you have to be able to pay from your player board that whatever I said, 3 uranium or whatever, and just discard it because you are now giving it to your past self because you got it in the past. That system is ingenious.
If you can't, you create a paradox.
Right. There are paradox.
Like, yes!
There are paradox tokens. And as you mess up the systems that are in place and don't do them correctly, you are causing paradoxes that are very bad for you.
Mm-hmm. I love that idea. I would be horrible with that.
It's never pay myself back, bro.
It's really good. And I will say Anachrony, so in comparison to like, let's say Tricarion, which I know you haven't played, but it's a same company, right? Tricarion's really good. You're playing, turn of the century magicians. So it's all of that artwork and everything, and you're building. It's sort of a set collection where you're building your magic trick, and then you've got to go over, and then you've got to perform your trick to score points and things like that. But I feel like Tricarion, you couldn't just paste any theme on it, but it wouldn't be too hard with a little bit of thought to put another theme on that mechanic and on that set of mechanics and still have it execute the same way and feel relatively satisfying, even though Tricarion really nails what they're trying to do. But Anachrony, I feel like, very specifically, is very unique to Anachrony. And you can't just reskin Anachrony. You know what I mean? You really have to. I mean, you could do, I guess, like a Bill and Ted Excellent Event. Like,
sure,
we're gonna,
but even that,
got to remember to put that cup up there.
It's still Anachrony.
It's still time traveling and
stuff. But I feel like you couldn't really reskin Anachrony where maybe you could like Tricarion. And I'm not saying that that's a knock on Tricarion because it's a fantastic game.
There are great games that could be reskinned. Like we just said, Battlestar Galactica is coming out with Unfathomable now. It's just a reskin of the same game.
Been reskinned.
Yeah, I'm sure they're both great.
But I guess I see it as if the theme is so important to the mechanics that reskinning it could be a problem.
Right.
Sure.
Yeah.
This is a tiny one, but I talk about it all the time, and that's the split worker mechanism in Robinson Crusoe. I love how that mechanic works. Basically, you are doing, you know, you're accomplishing goals. You are, adventuring. You are building tools. You're doing all these things, fighting monsters.
You said Sadness Island?
Yeah, Sadness Island. And so to do that, you have two workers, each player. It's a cooperative worker placement game. And if I put one worker on build tool and one worker on scout, you know, terrain, then I have dice for build and for adventure or whatever that I have to roll. And I might succeed. I might fail. I might get an adventure while I'm out there. I might get hurt while I'm out there. You know, you're rolling these three dice that do different things. But if I, and basically the theme of that is, let's say I'm working a 24-hour day, right? It's Monday on a deserted island. Okay, well, I'm going to do this till noon and then this till midnight. I'm splitting my day in half. I'm not putting all my effort into those tasks, and I might mess them up. But instead, on my turn, I can put two workers on one location, and now I am guaranteed, I don't have to roll the dice, that thing succeeds. But I'm also wasting two actions to accomplish it. And in that game, you don't have too many actions before you lose. So that push and pull of what do we desperately need and what can we kind of stretch out and hope for luck on is so thematic and unique, like especially at the point that I played it. I had never seen anything else.
Well, another fantastic thing that really mean and depressing game does to you is the card system, where if you get bit by a snake, you're going to take like a card and shuffle it into the deck, and it may never come up. But you may die from that snake bite at some point.
Later, you might draw that card.
Poison.
Exactly. You might draw that card later, and you have to read the bottom half now, and it says, like, your wounds are festering. Do you have medicine? No.
Bye-bye.
Bad things happen. So, yeah. And you can plan ahead. Like, don't read ahead, because that kind of ruins it. But you can be like, okay, I got a snake bite on my arm. We got to start building that medicine. Like, that's clearly going to come up at some point, because I have a snake bite, right? So you can kind of plan ahead, but you're not always going to be right. You might see tracks of an animal, and you might build up your weapons because you're like, oh, it's going to come back and attack camp. And then it turns out it was just like a deer, and it gives you some food. And you're like, man, we wasted a lot of actions building.
And
up
who
tools.
Knew that deer were used as a food delivery service in Robinson Crusoe?
And you mentioned the deck changing because you're adding things to it. And again, in Nemesis, you're adding corruption cards into your deck, which you can't use to pay for your actions. They represent the fact that you're tired because you've been infected.
Right.
Or possibly infected.
Right. Those are the cards I was talking about that you scan.
But you didn't mention how they can't be used for anything.
They just take up your hand.
Yeah, it's just another way that this kind of mechanic really
again,
works.
Nemesis, one of the most thematic games ever.
Go for it.
We talk about it a lot. I know we can't go too into it, guys, but the whole point of this list is because we talked about Fight Club last week. Mm-hmm. And just for everyone who's out there, everyone who's out there, man, what an awesome way to take that story and try to make it a board game of these two people fighting each other.
And what we're really trying to say...
never thought of that, actually.
What we're really trying to say is Spencer's had a week, and he's still not watched it.
Do I need to leave the room?
No, I just need to watch the movie.
That's all I'm going to say. Literally, trust me, if all my movies are boxed up right now because we're still in the middle of moving.
I guess I could get
mine
out.
But, like, I would have given it to you today. Yeah. I'm not kidding.
I mean, I'm not kidding. I'll watch it. I just need to find it.
Yeah. We will make that
happen. It's on Hulu. Maybe I'll get on Hulu.
I'm sure it's on something. I don't know.
Really quickly, I just remembered a game that has a really unique mechanic for what it is. Mm-hmm. Okay? I have a Samurai Jack board game.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
From the past, it's Samurai Jack.
Yeah, exactly. What's really interesting about this, it's more based on the late last season.
Okay.
The new one?
The new season.
Okay, yeah.
But you don't play Jack in the game. You play his allies. But you still have a Jack that moves. There's like a track, Jason, that you move Jack back and forth between, and you basically have to like have him not go insane.
Okay.
And now like go towards Aku or whatever. You're basically helping Jack, but you're not controlling Jack. And I thought that was really interesting.
So you're manipulating him from the side.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just trying to help him.
There was an old Lord of the Rings game like that where you have a ring at the top on this track, and on the other side you have the mountain. Or actually, it's not even the mountain. It's the tower.
Sauron or whatever.
Barad-dûr.
Sure.
Yeah, it's a tower with Sauron on it. And as you're playing certain cards, it makes the ring go this way and go that way. But then every once in a while, this guy moves up too. And so you're having less and less room in which you can move that ring.
It's pretty neat.
Yeah.
Brittany.
I wish I remember the name of that exact one.
Time Stories.
Oh, yeah.
Well, again, time travel going from Anachrony, but what's up?
I haven't played it.
Oh, man. Time Stories. What an awesome way to do that theme of you're jumping back in time into other people's bodies, trying to accomplish a goal.
Is Quantum Leap?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh.
Trying to accomplish people's goals. But if you don't accomplish it in time, there's a time tracker ticking down. If you don't accomplish it in time, you get sucked back to the future again. Mm-hmm. And then they send you back in, but this time you have like less time and stuff, right? But you know things. So now you know, because as you're going, you're like, basically there's cards laid out, and you're like, okay, I'll investigate the closet, and you flip that card over, and like there's pictures, and it tells you what's going on and stuff. Or let's talk to that lady, and you flip it over, and you have a conversation with her, and you learn stuff. And now, I mean, you don't lose your memory when you get sucked back to the future and go back in. Okay, we know now. Okay, if we talk to that lady, okay, we don't need to talk to her. She tells us about the closet. We already know the closet. That person gives us the key. Let's go talk to him. We know the keys for this door, but we don't know where to go after that. And like every time you go back in, you know more. Nice. And you're trying to get to the end.
That's cool.
Yeah. Take
is
notes.
It a co-op note?
Yes.
Yes, it's full co-op, it's Quantum Leap, and scenario driven. So you buy the base game and you have one scenario, and then you buy like supplemental, like $15 expansions that are all different stories. Stories. Cool. Yep. They're all completely different themed because you're time traveler. So here's medieval. There's one that's like called the Dragon Heart or something like that.
Yeah, there's
different.
Like a fantasy one. There's all kinds of stuff you get sent into.
Yeah, the first one is you're going into an insane asylum.
Yeah.
And you're into patients. And you all have asymmetric abilities based on the patients and everything. And
so good.
It's a fantastic game. It's been on my need to buy list for a long time. My worry is I don't want to keep having to buy all the expansions.
Right. That is the limitation with a game like that, but it does provide such a good experience.
Because it's a time travel game, too, they have it. It's thematic, but also just helpful. They have this save system to where the insert of the box is to where you can just stop playing at any point and you put everything in certain locations and it's like the game is on pause.
Yeah, they do that in Teen and Grill.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. And one of the first games I saw that did that, and it fits the
More
theme
games
of pausing
should do that.
It. So yeah, Time Stories, man, fantastic. a little personal one for me. Hey guys, I never talk about Shadow Network.
Never.
But I just wanted to talk about, I love the fact that they worked into the theming of the game, how to feed other locations and make them better and better by it's a spy game, so information is leaking. Mm. So whenever you go to a location, you get goods, you choose to leak information to other spots, and now those spots become better. So a lot of worker placement games have the thing to where put one coin on every spot that no one visited, you know, and stuff like that. And this game even does that. But this making the spots better just naturally within theme of the spy information leaking to other spots. What a genius idea, whoever came up with that.
I'm starting to think you just really like Cold War era video or like board games.
I love the 80s.
Oh,
lots of cocaine.
Two more small ones. One you guys have played, one you haven't. So first of all, it's not super ingenious, but Dark Souls, the whole point of Dark Souls is you die over and over and over again, but you keep getting better and you keep learning, and you learn enemies' fights.
And you don't need to ask the lady about the closet.
Correct. And but so two things the Dark Souls game does that is genius is, first of all, it's a big tile game. I kind of wish there were more because you only play with like four areas. But when you go to an area, the cards are randomized and you flip the card over and it tells you what enemies to spawn where. This enemy spawns on this node. These two spawn on this node. This spawns on this node. Then you fight and you move on to the next thing. When you rest, everything despawns and all the cards flip back over and you go back to camp and you can level up your guys and stuff like this. But now you remember, okay, we're going to have two brutes that spawn here. We're going to have this guy that spawns here. And then you can kind of choose what tiles you want to go to depending on how you want to fight. You can choose your, when you walk into a tile before you flip everything, you choose your spawning locations. So you can be like, okay, the tank needs to be over there because we know the brute spawned there. And then the mage needs to be over here because no one spawns on this side of the board. So the mage can stay with the outer range. And so every time you come back, you remember where the enemies are,
so
where they're going to spawn.
They don't stay on the board once they spawn. You just take them off and...
Right. Once everything despawns, they come off the board. And then it's just got like a little memory game. Okay, well, we know where this was. Where were these guys again? Right, that kind
of
thing.
You can only do it so many times because you run out of soul points.
Yeah, that's
like
one of the things I house rule, though. They don't let you do it nearly enough times.
I know, it was
really
hard
for that. In the video game, it's infinite. Just keep doing it.
It makes it really grindy. I mean, it feels like you're like, oh, I have to grind and grind and grind. But then I'm like, but that's the game.
Right. In the board game, it really makes you feel like, I don't think we should go back and level up. Let's just fight the boss. I don't want to spend more time. To where in the video game, you're just like, oh, I just have to fight through those enemies again. I'm going to go level up, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Different. The other thing really quick is when you fight the boss, they have a deck of cards, and you reveal the cards, right? And so, okay, so when you, so first card, he does a jump attack and then hits every enemy on his right side. Okay, next card, he takes two steps forward, attacks everyone on his left side. Next card, he does a tail whip, attacks everyone behind him. When you go through all the cards, you then flip the deck over again. Yeah. So now you know okay, his first attack, he's going to jump, and he's going to attack everyone on his right side. So let's all go to his left, right? Okay, his second attack was he took two steps forward, so he's going to be over here now, so we need to move, and he's going to attack everyone on his left, so let's get on his right. And again, it's this memory game that is so thematic for Dark Souls, of memorizing the boss's moves and knowing exactly when to dodge and when to hit.
That is such a good implementation of a video game.
Oh,
like,
it's
by
so
your description.
Good. Yeah, it's so good. Oh. I get it. The game is grindy, and it plays really long. But if you're a fan of the video game, none of that matters, because the video game is long and grindy.
Well, that's the experience you're signing up for, though.
Exactly.
Yeah. And guess who hasn't played those games?
Right.
I haven't either, but it sounds pretty neat.
So I knew Dark Souls was going to go long. The last one's really short. I just love it. We've talked about it a lot today. How thematic the building monuments thing is in Lords of Hellas. Mm-hmm. I love that. It's one of the actions you take, and when you build a monument, it increases your power with that god stuff. That god now gives more powerful abilities to people because it is more worshipped and everything. But at the same time, if you haven't seen it, you're literally putting the giant statue together on the board piece by piece. You know, a level 2 Zeus versus a level 3 Zeus versus a level 4 Zeus. You're building up this giant monument on the board. It really gets you into the theme of that game.
And then the board looks amazing.
Oh, it's so good.
And I also just am kind of in love with the idea of, like, walking through these regions with, like, half-built statues.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, it's just really, whether it's because they've been falling down or because they're still in the process of being built. Either way, I really just like that visual in my head.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And
is it like cyberpunk?
Oh
Greek?
Yeah, it's cyberpunk Greek mythology. It's so much fun.
Oh, I love it.
It's really goofy if you really try to think about it, but the theme is so much fun. I really enjoy it.
That was my whole list. I know it was a lot, but those mechanics mixed with their theme. I literally, when I see those mechanics in a game of that theme, I go, good job, designers. Like, it's not like they just like, oh, we have to make a theme game. It's like, no, they cared.
So a hidden movement game that I think actually nails the theme best of all is Last Friday.
Right.
Because the way Last Friday plays. So Last Friday, it is a hidden movement, 1v many, and somebody is like Friday the 13th style, the maniac,
Jason.
Right?
Yeah.
The maniac.
Excuse me. We're not trying to get sued here.
Okay. The maniac.
Jordan.
And they are moving around. So the game basically plays as the maniac is moving around, and depending on the chapter, is trying to either kill as many of the survivors or the camp counselors as they can, or trying to evade the camp counselors, right? So that's the beauty of it, is it flips back and forth, and the board state matters, right, from each chapter to the next. Technically, they say you could play each chapter, like, individually, as its own thing.
As, like, a mini game.
Yeah, but it's more fun to just take, like, 2 hours, hour and a half, 2 hours, and play every chapter out.
Yeah.
Because you may not even need all the chapters. You may win earlier.
Right.
Yeah, I think one time we played, we only made it to the third.
Yeah, and that's fine. And the way that the mechanics change is so on theme. If you're a fan of those really bad, and I'm a fan of them, those really bad 80s slasher movies. I've
that
seen them
Cold
all.
War.
Cold War.
Oh, Cold
War.
War
slasher
Cold
movies.
War slasher movies. I wasn't sure what you were talking about.
Yeah,
first.
Not the giallo slashers. But, and again, you know, right, these are just popcorn, you know, blood and guts movies, which is fine. I enjoy most of the Friday the 13th movies, actually all the way up until about 8, and then I'm kind of like, okay.
Jason,
but anyways,
space.
They really, really, really nail the theme, and the theme is so well done. I don't know how you could put a different theme on that version of a game, and it's brilliant that the old horror fan in me, like, just gets a theme of, you know, that works so well, and you get to play that kind of game. I played it on both sides, and I played it multiple times, and it's kind of fun to just watch people with glee as they're like, oh, well, now you're dead.
Right, because it's killer tries to find and kill teens.
Yes.
Then teens decide to fight back, like the scene in the movies where they all grab the baseball bats, and they're like, no, let's get him. So then it reverses. Then killer has to kill last girl.
Right. Is that the third something one? Like that.
Right. Yeah, I haven't played it.
Yeah, the chosen
final
one.
Girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so, yeah, it just...
It goes back and forth.
There one more?
Well, then, because if the killer doesn't kill the final girl, then the final girl in the last chapter is the only one who can kill the killer, and the killer's running, but the other counselors... are using, basically they're throwing themselves in his path to then reveal where
he
is.
Because if he's with someone, he has to kill them because, duh, he's a slasher.
Right.
And then when he kills someone, prices. His location pops up.
I must be stopped. but anyways, that's just one that the theme is really good, really fun. There's an expansion. There's actually, an expansion for it? And then what did they announce at Gen Con?
They just announced a revised edition.
A revised edition.
So a streamlined, more balanced version is
coming. So I need to do some research and see if I still need to try to get the expansion or if the revised edition is going to fix that. But anyways, it's not that expensive of a game anyway. If any of that sounds interesting to you, I would just say go out and get it because it's a lot of fun.
I need to play it because, like I said, I'm becoming obsessed with hidden movement games. So
I think it's one you would like because it does enough things differently.
Right. It was pretty fun.
And I mean, it's just goofy fun. So, but that's one that I really enjoy. I mean, there's a ton of these that you could say this theme is vital.
Of course, exactly.
And there's a ton of games where the theme is not that important, and they're still great games. It's just what's important to
really
you.
Really quickly, this isn't an official thing, but at our local
FLGS,
friendly local game store.
Uh-huh.
That's what that means.
They have a Top Gun board game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, let me just say, I didn't look at the back of this until like 2 weeks ago. There's a fighter pilot phase and a volleyball phase. It's on theme, but why?
That's very,
why even?
It's very important.
Again, though, when you're watching the movie, but why?
Yeah. But why?
How am I going to know who to trust in the sky until I can know who to trust on the field? Okay.
Right.
Of the volleyball court.
Of the volleyball court. Right. I thought it'd be like the old Nintendo game where you're trying to land on that aircraft carrier.
Oh, God.
And you just keep crashing into the side of it. Oh, that was the hardest part of that game. That game was so much fun. And then it's like, well, I'm just never going to get to the second level because I can't land this plane.
Why? Yes.
Land? No. We just have been talking about Indiana Jones. Fortune and Glory is a really good game with a lot of theme. Again, gives you that Indiana Jones high adventure, serialized adventure.
Speaking of that, the Lost Ruins of Arnak with the track, you can't research something.
That's a good point.
Than
you literally
explored.
Looked at Arnak and I was like, that's not super thematic. But that one thing
that
is a good
thing,
mechanism mixed with theme to where, you obviously can't write down a note if you haven't researched it yet.
Right. Even though I do think, again, Arnak could be probably re-implemented into something else.
Oh,
I mean, you could probably find an IP. And
that's why I said I didn't think overall.
But it's not a negative. And
you
again,
could just be exploring space and have that same thing.
But it's not a negative or anything, right?
Yeah.
Because like Clank. And Clank in space, like
exactly, we
can throw whatever theme we
Unfortunately,
want.
Unfortunately, most games could add in space on the back.
Yeah,
in space. Be perfect.
But anyways, so yeah, what are some of your favorite games with where the theme just ties it in and just absolutely nails it? And tell us why Dan's wrong about I don't know anything. Potato Legion.
My name's not even Dan. Potato Legion.
Potato Legion.
I
want to
know who that is. I've definitely seen that name somewhere.
Why Potato Legion over here is wrong.
Oh, it was me the whole time.
Potato Legion 87. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What year were you born?
87.
Really?
Oh,
no. I was like, wait a minute.
No, that's the year I was born.
Yeah. You're a baby. Yeah, you have to be 90 something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Potato Legion 90 something. That's way too long of a call sign. So, guys, let us know. Also, while you're checking out channels and Googling Potato Legion, check out our friends at the Board Game Mechanics. They just hit that big milestone. They've got a weekly podcast, do a ton of videos on YouTube, and they're all pretty okay.
And they covered the hunger.
So, Jason, when you watch this, post in the comments a link to your video so that everybody can go and watch it.
And if you have HBO Max, you can watch the hunger on that.
Not the same.
Not the same.
Starring Richard Garfield.
Not the same.
Okay.
Children's favorite Garfield. Like, really, kids will get really upset by that. Also, please check out on our sister channel, The Miniatures Rundown, where CJ, Justin, and Jeff all kind of do stuff.
Not Justin. It's Joshua.
Joshua, son
he
of a biscuit. It's a J name. I'm really sorry, Joshua.
Whatever.
All right, pumpkin heads.
Pumpkin heads are a thing, though. Pumpkinhead's a thing. But anyways, yes, check them out. They cover all like tabletop miniatures.
Yeah, I'm probably going to watch the second X-Wing episode tonight.
And
I didn't have a chance to watch it yet, and I've been excited.
Mm-hmm. And we like X-Wing.
Well, I just like watching them crash into asteroids.
And
but
these guys show up sometimes.
Sometimes.
Maybe
sometimes.
In the future, hopefully,
yeah,
some more.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Cut them out.
Definitely more in the future. Sometimes more.
I guess you don't want to play X-Wing then.
But yeah, guys. Anyways, please, thank you for liking, subscribing, and doing all those things. And for the Board Game Rundown, I've been Tim.
I've been Spencer.
I've been Jeff.
I've been Dan.
And I am not Justin. We'll see you next time. That's on mic.
It is.
Good thing we can't use it. It's a family-friendly channel.
All right.
Man, Bleeps is going to get a lot of
Bleeps the cat.
More cats.
Thanks for checking out the Board Game Rundown. If you like what you saw, like, comment, and subscribe to our channel. Share our videos on social media and spread the word. We publish new content weekly, including reviews, unboxing, and Let's Plays. And as always, thanks for watching.